I'm Carol Hills with The World. On July 17th last year, Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was blown out of the sky over eastern Ukraine. Almost a year later, this Ukrainian man still recalls when it happened in vivid detail. Alexander is his name, and I should warn you, some of what he says is hard to listen to.
I was barbecuing, sad to say, and then it began to fall. A huge thing. And from that piece of plane, people were falling. Boom, boom, boom. They were flying as if they were birds with their arms spread out. And wherever they fell, they made a crater. One woman fell here. Over there was a pilot. I still remember their faces.
Alexander is one of the voices in a new BBC documentary about the tragedy. He and his neighbors are still traumatized by what they saw. But think about those who lost loved ones amid the sunflowers and wheat fields near Donetsk. All 298 people on board flight MH17 were killed. The reporter on the documentary is Natalia Antalava, who joins us now. Natalia, your story is very moving and very sad, and it focuses on just one of the victims, a Dutch woman called Joyce Bay. How did you decide to tell her story?
Last year, I was there covering the crash. Obviously, kind of the experience I will never forget. I've witnessed many disasters and many gruesome stories, but I have never seen anything like that. And as we were filming, this young man walked up to me and handed me a wallet and an ID of a Dutch citizen. And he kind of just mumbled, "Oh, can you tell? I don't know what to do with this. Do you know who do I give this to?" And he kind of pushed it over to me. We ended up giving the documents to the rebels, to the emergency workers, because there was no one else to give them to. But the name of the on that ID really stuck in my head. It was Joyce. So when the Malaysian Airlines released their list of passengers, you know, I looked for the name and there it was. She was the only Joyce on the flight. And eventually I ended up contacting her family and finding her sister in the Netherlands. And, you know, that's a story that I tell.
And her sister Babs was so close to Joyce, the woman who died. Let's hear how Babs describes her sister.
She was everything. My friend, my partner, everything we discussed together. If it was work, relations, emotions, illness, we discussed everything. We were on the same level of emotions, of humor. And I know I will never meet someone who I am the same frequency with.
What was Joyce doing on the flight? What was she planning to do in Malaysia?
You know, Babs very articulately and very well tells that story. And she, the two of them, one of the reasons why the two of them were so close is because they lost their mother in a horrific fire accident 10 years ago. So having always been close, that really brought them together. Babs says that, you know, her dream was always to have a baby. And Joyce's dream was always to travel. She was a business consultant based in Amsterdam and spent a lot of time traveling, did a lot of volunteer work in Africa, went to Tibet, which was a Buddhist. And she got a gig with this tourist agency to guide a group of Dutch tourists through Malaysia. And she was very excited about it. It was something that it was a potential career change. It was something she really wanted. And so she wanted to get there earlier before the group got there to Kuala Lumpur, and which is why she got on that flight. Just before she got on the flight, a few weeks before that, you know, Babs had made the decision to go through the process of artificial insemination and become a mother. And Joyce supported her through that. And she was supposed to be her birthing partner. She was supposed to be there in her labor, and she was very, very supportive. She was supposed to play a role in this baby's life and so on. So Joyce gets on that flight. That day, Babs gets the phone call.
They said to me, "I have very difficult news, and your sister, yes, I know, she's on the plane, but what's wrong with her?" And hadn't heard anything about the plane crash at all. Then I put on the television over there.
So before you turned the TV on, there was still hope?
Yes, I thought perhaps some rescue. I didn't realize it at all. And then you see the images on TV and then you know for sure she's dead and everyone on the plane is dead. And on the other hand, how strange it may be, it was comforting because then you know for sure you have one scenario instead of, does she have pain? Can we rescue? Does she need my help? It was immediately clear there is no one to help anymore. They're all dead.
It's a very moving documentary about how just how close Babs and Joyce were. Did Babs ever get the documents you were handed that day in the field after the crash?
She did. She did. She got the documents in the spring. She said a man came to her dorm with each item of Joyce's belongings wrapped individually in white tissue paper. The documents were there. The only thing that they didn't get was a silver bracelet that Joyce always wore. And when I met Babs in the Netherlands, she asked me if I could try to look for that bracelet when I go to Ukraine.
That bracelet really means Joyce for me. And it would mean a lot for me if you could ask people over there if they have seen the bracelet or knew if someone took the bracelet. And I want to reward them because I've lost my sister, but the bracelet is also my sister, so I want the bracelet back.
I understand you tried to find that bracelet, Natalia.
I did try to find the bracelet. What made that search much, much more difficult than I anticipated, and I always expected it to be very unlikely that we would find it. But what made it almost impossible was the fact that just as I was about to travel to Ukraine, I was banned from entering eastern Ukraine. The authorities there revoked my accreditation without giving the reason, although it was suggested that they were unhappy with my previous reporting. So I couldn't get in. I tried all I could. I basically rang everyone I could think of, and people really took it to heart and started looking on my behalf, on Babs's behalf. And incredibly, in those like 2 or 3 weeks of looking for the bracelet, we actually tracked down 2 bracelets that had been found recently. And neither of them were Babs's bracelet, but what we're hearing is a lot of people are saying that they are still finding things because the crash happened over such massive territory that people are still finding things. And it is possible. It's possible it has been looted because there was some looting in those early days, but it's possible that they'll find it as well. So, and people that I've been talking to are saying that they will keep looking.
So tragically, Babs is still waiting.
She's still waiting. She's waiting not just for the bracelet. She's also waiting for the answers as who did it. The Dutch, the investigation is still going on. In fact, 2 investigations. One is into the causes of the crash, and we are expecting results to be released in October. And another one is a criminal investigation. But not just Babs, but all these families are still waiting to find the perpetrators and hopefully have them punished.
My BBC colleague, Natalia Antalava. Thanks, Natalia.
Thank you.
You're listening to The World.